is a presentation of WYM, Westminster Youth Ministry. God has given us emotions. The way that we feel comes out through these emotions. This can be a good thing. However, oftentimes, our emotions can lead us to say and do things that we don't put much thought to. In this study called I've Got This Feeling, Emotion in the Bible, we are going to spend this semester looking at different types of emotion and seeing how the world views those emotions and what is the biblical view. We hope you enjoy.
Thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time. We ask that you would be with us as we look to your word and seek to better understand how we are to love, Lord. And it's the way that you've called us to in your scriptures. And we pray that we would glean from that and that we would learn from it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. In 1993, well before many of y'all were born, I was in, I was in fourth grade. Okay, there was a very famous song that came out and it took the world by storm. I want to put this in context for you. I had this song on cassette tape. This was before MP3s, before CDs. I had this on tape. Okay, I had to rewind this thing in order to listen to it again. But it was the song, What is Love? By Nestor Hathaway. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more. A very famous song all over the world. And a couple years ago, in 2015, a good 22 years after this song came out, somebody asked him in an interview, what is that song about? What does that mean? Okay, what did you mean when you were saying, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Poor girl. What does it mean when you say, what is love, baby, don't hurt me no more? And this is what he said. He said, people are always asking me what I meant in that song. And what I mean by what is love needs to be defined by everyone by their own definition. It's unique and individual. And for me, it has to do with trust, honesty, and dedication. And it's interesting how he defined that. Because what we would consider the worldly response to what love is, he was thinking that back in 1993. Love is defined by whatever you think it is. Love is something that you can create, that you can do, and whatever you like, whatever is good for you is good for you. Even back then, in 93, that was the mindset that he had with that song. We need to be transformed by biblical love. Biblical love has a very specific definition. And it's not a definition of whatever you feel like, that's what you should love, or that's how you should love. No, biblical love says you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbors as yourself. And all the love that we do have and the love that we can share should flow out of that. So that's what I want to get across tonight. That we are to reflect God's love in all of our relationships. That we are to reflect God's love in all of our relationships. Let's split them in three groups. Let's start over here. Okay. Let's start with looking at what is love. Let me ask this question, specifically to group one. What are different ways that we use the word love?
Describe our feelings to another person.
Like,
if you love something, like, what you do.
Okay. Something you enjoy.
Yeah.
Okay, so an activity or some sort of thing you enjoy. How else?
We love food.
Okay, food? Yes. I love food. So we could use it in lots of different ways. We could use it to describe the way we feel about somebody. I love my wife, or I love my husband, or I love my friends. Okay, we can also use it, you know, I love pizza. Okay, I do love pizza. It's delicious. Okay? I love to play golf. I love to sleep. There's lots of different ways we can use the word love. But are all of these loves the same?
No.
I don't love pizza the same way that I love Addie. Okay? If I did, then that would be a serious problem. Okay. Well, the point is, we need to recognize how we use that word. I'm not saying you can't use that word whenever you want. I'm just saying we need to recognize the difference between those loves. Because it's a huge difference. So what are ways that we might overuse or misunderstand the word love?
Inanimate
objects. Okay, what do you mean by that?
Like, my favorite pencil.
You love your pencil. I love this pencil. Okay?
Money!
Who here has a favorite pen that they like using? I do.
I love
I love my pen. Okay? But that's kind of an odd thing to think about. Okay? You love your pen.
I have a pencil.
So we can overemphasize the word love when describing things, okay? When I say I love pizza, I'm not saying I'm in love with pizza. I'm saying I love pizza. Okay? Pizza's delicious. I'm not in love with a slice of cheese pizza. Okay? That would be weird. Okay? Or pepperoni or salt, whatever kind of pizza. What I'm rather saying is I enjoy the taste of this thing. It brings me joy to eat pizza. And that's what I love about it. Not that I love this so much that I'm dedicated to it. What I'm saying is sometimes we can overemphasize that word. Okay? And even if you think about your love for certain things, so let's stick with the example of pizza. I love pizza, okay? But one day, sushi is sitting in front of me, okay? And all of a sudden, my affections go to sushi, and I love sushi, okay? Am I thinking about pizza at that point? No. Okay, pizza gets put on the back burner because of my love for sushi, okay? And something that I once loved is now on the back burner until I rekindle that love. And is that really love at that point? And I want you to think back to what Mr. Hathaway was saying. What is love? Okay? It can be whatever you want it to be at any given moment. So what I really want to think about tonight is when we use that word love, is it really something that we are truly loving and dedicated to? Okay? Again, it's okay for you to say, I love pizza, or I love my pencil, or whatever it is. But I really just want us to think about what this word means. Because the common understanding of love and culture is very different than what the Bible's understanding of love is. Other examples, you could be dating somebody, and you can tell your boyfriend or girlfriend that you love them. But let's be honest, middle school boys don't love their girlfriends, okay? They don't. You guys may think that you love your girlfriends. There's just something about your girlfriend that you love, okay? And it's probably not something pure. You may love a particular teacher in school, okay? Does anybody have a teacher that's just like, I cannot wait to get to this teacher's class? Okay? Best teacher in the world right there, okay? You may have a specific teacher that you love going to their class, and you love that teacher, okay? But in 10 years, are you going to be thinking about that teacher? Are you going to be like, man, I can't wait to go to Mrs. Johnson's class? No. In 10 years, you're not going to be thinking about that person. So do you really love that teacher? No, you just like going to their class. This is what I mean when we need to think about and evaluate the way we use this word, because it's important how we use this. Or how about this? I love my job. I truly do. Okay? I love hanging out with y'all. I love teaching y'all. I love doing movie nights with y'all. I love going to RYM with y'all. Okay? But I hate to break this to you. I love my family more than I love you guys. Oh. Newsflash. I have priorities. It's good to have different levels of love, and it's good to define what those mean in our lives. And it's good to have margins in our lives so that we can focus and dedicate ourselves to the things that we are truly to love, okay? For you guys, you're in families. Your families are priorities for you, and that's a good thing, okay? We should love our families more than we love our friends. You may love your friends, but you should love your families more, okay? So let's move on to the world's view of love. And let me begin by saying this. There are so many good examples of dedicated, good relational affection that people can have towards each other even if they're not believers, okay? There are good examples of good husbands and good wives that aren't Christians. But our understanding of love should come from where?
The Bible.
The Bible, okay? And even though there may be good examples of love outside of our faith, we need to understand love in this way. Okay, so I don't want you to hear that only Christians understand love, because I think other people can understand parts of what love means, but they don't know where it comes from. I'm in no way saying that unbelievers can't display good aspects of love, but there's a stark difference between the way that Christ calls us to love and the way that the world calls us to love. So what is the world's general understanding of the concept of love, group two?
Whatever you want to make it out to be.
Okay, so whatever you want to make it out to be. Okay, what else? Yeah, Ellie.
An emotion.
Okay, yeah. The culture uses the word love as an emotion, which it is, but it's not just that. There are days when husbands and wives don't love each other the same way that they did on the day they got married. There's fluctuation in that, and that's okay. Because sometimes we make each other angry, okay? Sometimes we frustrate one another. And sometimes we don't want to be around the other person. But that's where love is not just an emotion. It's a commitment, okay? But the world generally views love as an emotion. That's why you can just get divorced whenever you want. It doesn't matter, okay? If you don't feel good about the relationship, or if you're not getting satisfied with something, then check out and go, okay? That's what the world views love as. And we even see this in how people describe others in relationships. Now, let me ask this question. I'm going to ask it the right way because I had a typo. Okay. All right. I love blank because of the way that they make me feel. Okay. What is at the core of this statement?
Yourself.
Ourselves. I love this person because of how they make me feel about myself. It's about the self. While it's good to have people tell you nice things, and it's good that people can love you and make you feel good about yourself, that's not what love is about. Okay. And if that's what love is about, then we're approaching it with a very selfish attitude. Okay. And again, there's nothing wrong with somebody making you feel nice, and making you feel pretty, or handsome, or strong, or whatever it is, okay? But that can't be our main focus in love, and why is that? Because it's selfish, and Christ calls us to love others more than we love ourselves. What is the danger of describing love in that way? Ellie?
That our self-centered opinion, it can become an idol for us.
Yeah. What do you mean when you say a relationship can become an idol?
We get all caught up in our relationship with other people. We don't even have it. We don't even recognize our other relationships that are most dear.
Yeah. Yeah. Other relationships that should be more important and that should deserve our love get overshadowed. Okay? Again, it's okay to enjoy how someone can make you feel. I want to recommend the book The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis to you. If you haven't read that book, it's a good one to check out. He answers the question, how do we deal with the concept of love in our hearts? And he uses four ways of describing the word love and how we can categorize those in our hearts. So check out that book if you have time. But he talks about something called need love. He grounds that love in the sacrificial love that God has given to his son. And we're all recipients of that kind of love. We'll get to that in part three. And it's okay to have need love. It's okay to need other people. It's okay to want other people around. It's okay to want to be loved by somebody. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we do idolize relationships, right? We get so down when we're like, oh, I just wish I had a boyfriend, or wish I had a girlfriend, or I wish I could just get married and have a family, okay? And there's, again, absolutely nothing wrong with that. God has created us to be in community, created us to be in relationship. But if we make idols of that, we're missing on the true relationship, which is our relationship with Christ. The danger of loving someone in the way that's described in that statement, that I love blank because of the way they make me feel, is as soon as that person stops making you feel that way, what happens?
Sadness.
Sadness, okay. What else?
You don't love them.
Okay, you may not love them anymore, or that love may start to wane and fall away. So once that person stops making you feel that way, then you have the perfect opportunity to do what? Check out and say, you know what? I'm done. Okay, no more. That's not commitment. That's not the kind of love that Jesus wants us to have. Lewis makes this distinction of where that love turns selfish. He says this, selfishly indulged love is a tyrannous and gluttonous demand for affection, and that can be a horrible thing. So when our desire for finding needs in relationships gets like so powerful that it affects others in negative ways, that's not a good thing. It's like you're at a friend that's like super clingy and super needy, like they need to be around you all the time. And they're calling you all the time, or they're just always like standing next to you and you can't get them away. Has anybody ever had that? Nobody? Great.
Yes.
Good. That's good. Okay. Sometimes we can have friends that are super needy. Okay. And again, it's good to give ourselves away to people and to sacrifice for people. But that kind of mindset where you need others to make you feel affirmed, you need others to make you feel loved, that can be damaging to relationships. And we need to be careful of that. Not only in ourselves, but also in our friends. The world always values people and things based on their usability. And this is a guy named Dan Gallagher in an article that he wrote called Worldly Love or Godly Love. He says, worldly love causes people to control and manipulate others so that they meet our needs. And it envies what others have. It's rooted in pride and causes division and separation between people. When manipulation starts to come in, is that good? No. Who here has ever been manipulated? You should all raise your hands. And very different ways we've all been manipulated by people. And it doesn't feel good. Okay, nobody likes to be used for something. And if we're only looking to love to fill a selfish need, we're using people. Group three, the Bible's view of love. Let's turn in your Bibles to Mark 12, 28 to 31. Who in group three would like to read 12, 28 to 31? Emma's going to read it for us.
Okay. All right, listen up. Came up and heard them disrupting one another and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.
All right, so what is Jesus telling us about love here in this passage? Group three. Okay, it is important. Okay,
love.
We are to love
your neighbor as yourself.
Okay, but we start where? We love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, with all your strength. And then we are to do what? To love our neighbor as ourselves. So what he's telling us here is we're to love sacrificially, but that has to come from somewhere. Okay? Nobody wakes up and just says, I think I will love people sacrificially today. Okay? It doesn't happen. Okay? You can think that it might happen. You may think very highly of yourself. Okay? But that's not going to be you. We don't naturally process that way. We don't naturally think that way. But God has given us his son. He died for us. He lived sacrificially so that we can understand what that means to love and sacrifice for others. That kind of love comes from God's love. It has to come from there. Okay? That comes from his love for us. And the only way that we can even begin to understand how we are to love others is if we do what? Is if we understand God's love for us. When the unbeliever, who is a good husband or a good wife, when they're loving their husband or wife well, that's a good thing. But it's not fulfilling God's will for them because they're not loving in the way that God has called them to. Because they're missing out on the God's love piece. But we, as believers, we need to be seeking out how we can reflect God's love in every relationship that we have. So how does Jesus want our love to be used? And then we'll wrap up. How does he want our love to be used? How do we bring God's glory? By displaying godly love to others.
By loving our neighbors as ourselves.
Okay, which means what?
Loving God with all our heart.
Putting him first.
Okay, he's putting him first.
Loving others second and loving yourself last.
Okay, that's a good way of looking at
it.
Let me sum it up for you. How about this? Okay, he wants our love, whatever it is, your love for your neighbors, your love for your family, your love for pizza or soccer or love for swimming, whatever it is. He wants our love for whatever it is to be a reflection of his love for us. So what does that mean? What does that mean? So one day, hopefully, y'all will be married. If you don't, that's okay, because some are called to not be married. But we're called to love our spouses more than ourselves. So how can we reflect God's love in that kind of relationship? Yes, Ellie.
By staying faithful to that love.
Yeah, okay. Okay, by being faithful, by being dedicated, even when things get hard, right? Okay, how else?
Putting their needs before your own.
Yeah, putting their needs before their own, okay? That's a hard thing, okay? As a husband and as a father, I have to put my family's needs before my own. That's hard sometimes because I'm selfish, okay? But I have to do it because I love my family, and it's a joy for me to do that. It may not be a joy in the moment, but in the big picture, it's a joy for me. Another writer who I've been reading a lot lately, he wrote a book called Faithful Feelings. He says this about our emotions, our good emotions, and love is a good emotion. We've talked about some bad emotions, but love is a good one. He says, emotions tell us the truth about what we believe and what we value. And when the New Testament commands this emotion of love, it's exhorting the believer to have values and beliefs out of which godly emotions flow. So when we think about love, we think about the way that God loves us. That should outflow into everything that we do. Another book that C.S. wrote, Mere Christianity, some of y'all may have read that. So I think somebody won it at RYM, didn't you?
Yeah.
He says, do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love somebody, you will presently come to love them. If you injure somebody you dislike, you'll find yourself disliking them more. If you do a good turn, you will find yourself disliking him less. And what C.S. Lewis is trying to get across there is, even in the people that you don't love, okay, who here has somebody that you really don't like being around, we're still called to love that person as God loves them, right? If we treat them very poorly, are we doing that? Are we fulfilling that? No. But God calls us to love them. It doesn't mean you have to be best friends with that person, but we still have to care for them. We still have to love them. And I think what C.S. Lewis is saying is very true. When we start caring for people that we don't like, we do find ourselves disliking them less. And that's a beautiful thing. That's redemption. That's very redemptive, and that's a good thing for us. So how can God's love for us translate in our love for others? Everybody look at Romans 5, 6 to 8. Romans 5, 6 to 8. I'm going to read it for us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person he would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our love should be sacrificial. Okay? Our love should translate in that way. We should be more giving of our time. We should be more giving of our talents. And we should be more giving of our ability to relate with one another. That's love. We must love in that way. Flip over to Romans 8. A couple chapters over. Romans 8, 38 to 39 says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So again, our love should be consistent. Are we consistent people? Usually not. But God calls us to love the same no matter what. So that means when your friends do something stupid, you're still to love them. And you're still to give them grace. Okay? And why do we do that? Because God's given us grace 20 times over. Okay? And that's the least we can do. I'm not saying that's easy. It's hard giving people grace when they've let you down over and over, when they've hurt you. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about betrayal and hurts. And that it doesn't feel good. Okay? But God calls us to be consistent in our love. We can't just say, I love this person one day, and the next day, I'm just going to change that because, you know, I really don't like them today. Can you imagine what it would be like if God did that to us? That would be awful, right? The second you sin, God's like, done, okay? Not dealing with them anymore, they're gone, okay? That would be awful. And that would be a very, very bad place for us, but God is gracious to us. So ultimately, our goal is to reflect the love of Christ in all relationships. We can start there, being more sacrificial and being consistent, because that's the way that God is with us. He died for us. He loves us each and every day. He never gives up on you. I find that very assuring, because he should have given up on me decades ago. Decades ago. But he loves me, and he loves you. He wants us to reflect that love in everything. Amen? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for how you care for us, even when we don't deserve it. We ask that you would help us to reflect that love in every relationship that we have, whether it's friends, families, neighbors, coworkers, teammates, whatever the relationship is. Lord, we ask that you would help us to love you and then let that be an outflow towards the love that we have for others. I ask that you please be with each young man and woman in this room. Please let that be their prayer tonight, Lord, that they would love you and that your love would outflow into their lives and others. In Christ's name, amen. All right.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope this has been helpful for you. Please keep an eye out for more audio coming from WYM.